Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. It's your host, Chris, here with D-Pom, and we have our boy, Jeff, joining us. We're here for a special, we promised you guys, an in-game mailbag episode, if you will, where we're going to read some of the emails we gotten on in-game, and then we'll talk about in-game. And I guess, you know what, I think we should also talk about a little bit about that that Far From Home trailer.
One of the questions hits it, so.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad somebody read the questions before. I'm glad somebody did their homework before.
You're welcome. I got you.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you ready to join us on this guy? It's my fault. I didn't send them to Jeff either. So Jeff is going to hear these emails for the first time.
Anyway, that's the best.
And actually, you know what? People have heard us talk about this. So before we even kind of get into this, Jeff, what did you think of Endgame? Because people have heard us talk about Endgame. Me and D-Pom talk about this for a while. What did you think of Endgame?
I mean, I loved it. I think I'm at a point where the internet has finally gotten insufferable for me. With reviews, with TV shows, with everything. Because I don't know, you know, you're the movie reviewer. You've been doing this for generations, probably. You probably came back in time and been living out your life as a movie reviewer in plain sight. But I didn't know when servicing your fans became a pejorative.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We talked about this, like, what, 3 weeks ago on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard y'all talking about it.
If we have 3,000 fans, our job is to service those 3,000.
Right. Like, do you not want to serve your fans on MTR? Like, you're like, yo, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's people, when people see stuff that everybody likes, they feel like it should be wrong. And it goes back to the old wrestling adage, right? Just because they booked it their way and not your way doesn't mean that it's bad. They just did it a different way. But having said that, dude, this was the series finale of the first, I guess, the golden era of the MCU and the golden era of comic book movies. And it did not lost me. Because I binged watched to get to Lost, and that finale made me want all my time back. So it didn't lost me. That's a whole nother podcast in itself, trust me. But I felt fulfilled. It was so many emotions. If you're someone like me who's been watching all the movies, who actually reads the comics and who grew up on comics for years, there were so many nods to comic book stories that present stories, recent past, and distant past, that I was just overloaded. And I needed multiple viewings just to pay attention, just to catch everything. And to me, I don't think it was perfect, but I was able to be satisfied. I thought it was one of the best Avengers movies they had. And I didn't go to school for time travel, but it wasn't as hard to follow as people were making it out to be.
So
go ahead, bro.
No, so a couple of things. One, I wanted to kind of, and they both go back to what you were saying about, like, you're kind of over the internet. My new position at work means I don't have time to hop on Twitter and Facebook as much. And you know what's happened? Oh man, enjoying the stuff I like, it's so much easier. Like, here's the thing. Because I saw this coming. Like, I caught up on Game of Thrones, watched the first episode. I watched the first episode of the season, then I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I don't mean the show. I like the show. And I've seen the spoiler. I don't care about spoilers for Game of Thrones. I know what's happening. But I was like, I know for a fact, there's no way they can make people happy. There's no way this is going to end well. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing people turn on the show and on the writers. And I'm not saying that there aren't things that are legitimately issues. But part of me wonders, it's like, if there wasn't the community behind it, would people be feeling the same way? Like, there are some people that are like, it sucks in season 2. And I'm like, so why are you still watching? And that's, you know, and it kind of goes into this whole thing with this. Like, I was watching people who, like you said, fan service. Like, you're mad at them having fan service. You're mad at the fact that you need to have seen the, you know, at least most of the movies that happened before this to understand the film. You're upset that, you know, time travel is weird. Hey, newsflash, people, time travel is explained in it didn't bother me because we've seen Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., we have Flash, we have Legend of Tomorrow. We have three time traveling shows right there. Shit, if we want to get real here, Star Trek Discovery.
Yep.
Like
Arrow and his Flash fucking forwards.
Right. There's so much time. Like, it never makes fucking sense. Everybody makes up your own rules. And Endgame, they basically sit there and goes, it's fucking confusing. It doesn't make any sense. So we're not going to really explain it. Because if you think about it, they really kind of don't explain it.
Oh, and they break it on purpose. What I've loved about the rollout after this movie is that unlike certain other people who make certain other big properties who can't shut the fuck up about their movie, people are actually asking the creators of this movie questions. And right. So when they say, oh, it looks like we broke time at the end of it, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it? And I'm like, oh, shit. So all my theories are still in play, but clearly, like they had, you didn't figure something out that they didn't spend 3 years on, guys.
Right.
Right.
And so
and on top of that,
you have to be David Gettleman to think you're that much smarter than everyone else.
All right. You know, what? Like what happened? My man, like you know, I don't root for them anymore, so it's fine. We can talk about David Gettleman anymore. I've given them up until September. Oh my god. But yeah, man, it's just David, I didn't even know Duke had a football team. All right, man, and I, you know what I thought was funny? It was encapsulated in tweet. This is when Twitter is beautiful. Somebody said, Endgame sucks. That's not how time travel works. And someone quote tweeted it and said, please explain to us how time travel is actually supposed to work. As if you are a time travel, you're a Rip Hunter, and you're going to tell us why this movie was bullshit. But yeah, man. It aside from all of that, it was just like all of the you were watching. It was like this is your life for comic books.
Yeah,
that's how I felt as a fan. Like it could have been a Charles Dickens film where we saw all of the ghosts of past, present, and yet to come. It was everything, man. It felt so fulfilling to watch these characters go throughout their arcs and. It's more enriching when you've watched everything, like everything, because you understand what they go through. It's literally like this was the event book. Avengers has always been the event book.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other movies have been the books that you read, their solos that have all been tie-ins. So this has been an 11-year tie-in to one major event. If you think about it like that, where, yeah, you should watch everything. You should read everything to get fully enriched because I was invested in and nothing satisfied me more than watching the end and the actual sign off for the characters that we went through throughout the years. Like everybody else got their credits, but Mark Ruffalo and Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. It was like a sign off.
Yeah, they actually got was actually dope. Yeah.
Right, like that was like dope. Like I felt like I was watching Broadway. So I mean, if you're a comic book fan, if you really love this shit, I don't understand how you walked away from Endgame confounded by fantastical elements.
Now, and see, this is something you brought up earlier, Jeff. Like it's kind of the way I've started absorbing our mutual love of wrestling. Like, if you're here to hate on, I'm not here to talk to you. I'm sorry. Like, if you're here to try to find problems with the thing that you love, you don't love them.
Right.
And that's cool. And then you don't have to love them, but like, don't yuck my yum. Like I don't come around and slap Rob Liefeld books out of people's hands and spray paint things on Greg Land's property. I don't do those things.
But you should,
but can't spray paint on the property because you won't be able to see the feet, right?
I'm done. I'm just going to trace a bunch of shit at Greg Land's house. Anyway.
Sidebar, I saw that he was doing Symbiote Spider-Man and I was so tight.
I was so mad because I wanted it so bad.
Oh, well. I was like, damn.
Bought it today because I saw his name on the cover. I was like, absolutely not.
I mean, I'm going to be real. I'm still going to read it, but
I'm going to read the synopsis. Happens in the story. I will not be buying anything with Greg Land's name on it, including the Havoc book when he put Havoc in charge of the X-Men.
Chris, we've got
emails, right?
Yeah, we got emails.
Yeah, we could get into it. I had a quick question before we got in.
Yeah.
You said that you thought that if nobody watched any of the other films, that you thought it was still a good jumping point, like they could still enjoy it.
I think you got to see Infinity War at the very
least. Honestly, I think you got to see Infinity War, but beyond that, you can kind of jump in. I've now seen it three times. I went with my mom yesterday. Shout out to moms.
Oh, nice.
it's wild because, yeah, the very beginning is very dependent on you watching Infinity War. But after that, it's kind of a new movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and I
it's kind of a new movie after the 5-year gap.
It's a tie up, yeah.
And let me just say this, too. And this last thing, we'll get in these emails. Because we keep saying that, oh, man, it's been great for comic book films. I think this is great for films. Like, everybody always talks about how, oh, well, you know, comic book films are destroying the industry, I'm like, no, they're not. If you look at what Marvel did, and if other studios look at that and said, we're going to do the same thing with an original property, something like that, you can, and again, like, take the comic book element out of it. What they did was they started from the ground up. They took a character who was known, but not really. Nobody was like clamoring, like, oh man, Iron Man, it's going to be a $1 billion franchise. Nobody was saying that shit about Iron Man back then. And they took from it and they built a story. Like, this story that you have and the characters you have and the arcs you get, and then have this connective universe of, again, this is one studio who did 22 movies in 11 years.
It's a Jay-Z lyric, right?
That's fucking ridiculous. Like, so when people say they go, oh, it destroyed the industry, it destroyed this, I'm like, no, they didn't. And again, on top of that, these are films that, for the most part, got great reviews and it made a ton of fucking money. This is not destroying the industry. This is showing you that you can blend. You don't have to pick one. You can have quality and make money. You can do fan service and do quality. You can have a good story and still be entertaining value. You can still be in action and comedy. Like, you can do all these things, and it's all there in that. And instead of getting mad because it's an Avengers movie, James Cameron, if you sat there, right, and he's tired of fucking people bringing up his fucking name. He's a fucking hater. That's all he is. He's a fucking hater. James Cameron did the same fucking things with his shit.
If you don't know what we're talking about the risk they took on doing this, go back to our character corner for the Marvel Studios 10th anniversary. We explained how this all happened and how it was a gamble by Marvel. I'll say this. The thing that Marvel did more than anything else, they took a chance on an uninsurable actor. They took loans to get Marvel Studios off the ground. If it hadn't worked, they would have lost the rights to the rest of their character. What they did in Iron Man is they focused on something that Stan and Jack always did, that the distinguished competition's never quite figured out. They get you in the door with the super, and we keep you invested with the man. I say it again. The super is what pops this theater. Mm-hmm. The man is why you cry when he snaps his fingers at the end of this movie.
Yep.
The man. And until you find that balance, all the studios, this is an open... You know why Fast and the Furious fucking works? They're essentially superheroes. You know why that series works? Because they have that ridiculous fucking scene at the end of every one of those shitty movies where Dom has a cookout, drinks a Corona, and says, Familia. Because the unity... Look, it's a series that started off with these niggas stealing DVD players, and I watched The Rock throw a torpedo at a submarine. And the reason that connective tissue works is because they do, however ham-fistedly as possible, they do allow the family and the humanity to connect the characters.
Like, motherfuckers are acting like Hobbs and Shaw are not going to make $1 billion, nigga. They turned it into
$1 billion. I'm good for 2 watches at least.
Right. I can't wait for them to go to space.
Roman Reigns is in this movie.
But this is going to be hilarious. But that goes back to what you were saying. It's like that's one of the elements where they did the, they started something small with the Fast and the Furious, the first Fast and Furious movies, and then Justin came in and was like, "This, like, that's next to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Fast and the Furious Cinematic Universe is the only other cinematic universe that has worked, and nobody talks about it.
It's been longer,
right? It's been longer, and on top of that, just like with Marvel Studios getting to this point, they're also very, very fucking diverse. This has been the formula that nobody picks up on, except for that franchise and these franchises here. It's like, is there anybody can do this? Like, and again, going to those movies. I mean, sometimes when Justin Lin's not directing them, they kind of fall off, but they're still not like trash. And people go, people who don't watch them go, like, I can't believe you guys watch this film. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, guys, but Fast 6 is still one of the best fucking action films I've ever fucking seen. Like, these films are fucking, they're not bad films. Like, these are films that they know what their audience wants. They keep the entertainment value in there, but they also make you care about those fucking characters. And so it's like, I'm telling you right now, Charlize Theron's character didn't die, and I saw today they were talking about maybe doing a spinoff with her. If they don't kill off Idris Elba's character in Hobbs & Shaw, I'm telling
why
you.
Why would they kill off Idris Elba's character?
They're going
he'll to just raise, he'll just rise from the dead. He's basically a god now.
Right, they're gonna make a super villain team up film with the. I'm telling you, but again, it's the same kind of elements that have been working in this series in Endgame in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it's like
Fast and the Furious Carvengers. Let's get to the emails. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, you know, Transformers is right there. Transformers is right there.
Hey, you leaving the fuck out of this. How dare you? That's rude.
I'd watch.
Let's read an email.
All right, this email's from Tony. He says, great non-spoiler review, and I agree. The movie is 10 American asses as well. Before I give my observations, can you and the other guests give an IMDb synopsis similar to what you and D-Palm do for Super Tuesday Recap podcast? Oh, so you got okay. So I didn't think about this. We have so basically what we do for Flash and Arrow when we remember is we make up our own synopsis for the movie. So if you had to give a synopsis for Endgame, what would your synopsis be?
Oh, you put me on the spot first.
I'll go first.
Oh, I thought you were asking it, Chris.
I'll
go first.
Hey, go ahead.
Remember when you used to play with all your toys at once? Imagine if you had a much bigger budget.
Mm. Okay. Jeff, you got one? Need some more time?
Let me think. Let me go after you.
Oh, mine's simple. Mine's simple. Avengers Assemble.
That's a great one.
I just short, sweet, to the point. My nigga, we assembling. let's fucking go. Like, I'm sorry, it's Avengers Assemble. Nicholas, go.
All right, mine is set in 2007. Yo, Robert Downey Jr. is about to make one studio triple billions of dollars, and he's gonna be Iron Man. Fuck out of here. Talk to me in 11 years.
It's on theme with time travel too.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a big 2007.
Yeah, man.
Love title cards.
Yeah, Iron Man. Fuck out of here. Observations: does Captain America ever tell Peggy Carter that he slept with her niece? If he does not tell her, does he feel uncomfortable every time he sees her?
Okay, so I have an answer for this.
Oh shit. Okay.
Wow.
The answer is he didn't sleep with her niece we've established through the Russos all the talking they've been doing. Steve. When he gets to us in the future, and when he meets up with Sam, gives him the shield, he hasn't spent time. He spent time with Peggy, but not in our timeline.
Mm-hmm.
He did it from the timeline, one of the timelines where he stole a stone from, went back there, because apparently this is the big get of this whole thing, is that they started the Marvel multiverse.
Yes.
And by going back and altering these timelines. And in one of those timelines, he never slept with that version of her niece. He watched her grow up and probably remembered sleeping with her, which was weird.
But
he went to therapy and he worked that shit out.
And
then he used the last spin particles to come home and give Sam the shield.
And to be fair, I don't think Cap ever slept with her anyway.
Yo, I don't think so either.
I mean, if we're going to be real, I mean, this is Captain America here. He's too, I think Cap was a virgin until he finally married.
I think Captain America Fox. Let's just be real.
See, I'm also in the camp that he didn't change the timeline, because the writers of the show came out and said that they gave conflicting reports, the writers versus the Russos. So I'm like, all right, y'all gonna misdirect us. I'm making up my own shit like y'all did.
That's the fairest thing to do.
So they said their rules. They said you can't significantly alter the timeline. So if Cap hides, he's not significantly altering the timeline.
Yeah, but then how does he get to the bench? There's no no one noticed the old man walking to the bench while they're doing this thing up. Come on.
I mean, he is a super soldier.
I mean,
he's still got
the stretch. That's the stretch. Okay.
Cool. He's still.
I'm just saying he did.
No, that's fine. I'm asking questions.
I mean, he laid down the super dick on Peggy, and then
I'm done with you. Ask the next question. There's more to the email. Stop it.
Number two, Luis could have helped explain, could have helped with the heist and explained everything. Absolutely. That's how we knew that Luis didn't survive the snap.
Because
they even played the music a little bit. So if Luis is there, that would have been great. So the Black Widow movie will be in the past, and I'm excited for that. I guess that happens. Yeah. I think they keep mentioning Budapest. So I'm assuming that whatever happened in Budapest is going to be sitting around what the movie happened. Because Clint mentioned it to her when they're flying to the Soul Stone, and again, that's from the first Avengers movie. So if it's set in the past, I guess that's what they're going to be dealing with for. They upped the ante when the women were leading Captain Marvel to the van. Those certain fanboys are going to be pissed. Absolutely true, but I do want to correct one thing: those women were not leading Captain Marvel. They were trying to help.
They were volunteers to help. Yeah. She did not require assistance.
Right. It was just like, that's cute. That's good. How the hell did Disney pay everyone? There are a ton of people in that movie. Cheers.
So here's a funny wrinkle that I learned this week listening to Kevin Smith's podcast. Apparently, that shot at the funeral, it looks like obviously you could composite that. Shoot people. They flew everyone in for that shot.
Holy shit.
They flew Michelle Pfeiffer in for that shot.
Shit. Wow.
That's ridiculous.
You know what, though? It makes sense. It makes sense, though. If you're part
of how expensive that shot is?
Yeah.
Just looking at the contracts. Just the contracts on screen. That's such an expensive shot.
Yeah.
And when's the last time we're going to see that many legit A-list actors all in one place?
Yo, nigga, they brought back Robert Redford. Robert Redford had a big publicity tour saying his last role was his last role. And he was just like, oh, by the way, yeah, of course I did that. They asked, I came running.
Right. Like, you thought?
What do you think? I hate money? What are you doing?
Of course I can.
They could have gave me a mill. I'll be Robert Redford.
Right.
They're like, yo, he got a 10. Where was he the last few years?
And to be fair, they've gotten so good with de-aging techniques and things like that. Like, they probably also told them, it was like, listen, you guys are going to be in the shot one way or the other. So.
Right.
You saw
easy to fly out. Save us the money.
Look, our parent company is Disney. We've put dead people into movies. Yep. So just don't.
They put a dead person in this movie. Stan Lee was in that cameo, but if you look at pictures from the 70s, that looks like his fucking wife.
It's true. Yeah.
Like, they recreated Joan beautifully for 1970. Ugh,
so good. All right, next email. Tommy says, this series, not just this movie, but this whole series might never be repeated correctly. Some will try, many will fail. Many have already tried. This was the one moment that good Doctor Strange was talking about. From Ed Norton to Terrence Howard being replaced, the story web that had to be done to make a Hulk movie without making more Hulk movies. Spidey coming home, Kevin Feige holding the toolbox over this overarching story. It all came into alignment just right. Is it perfect? No, nothing is. But the near 6 hours of Infinity War and Endgame is as close to it as it can get for me. Thank you, Marvel and Disney, for the love, and Sony for being incompetent on their own. With that said, there are some observations that I found that I'm sure others found, but wanted to point out. The end of Ultron, Tony says to Steve that maybe Clint was right about the kids and the farm. Where did he end up? Kid in the farm. That's a good point. Anyone else see how Rhodey and Kara looked at each other when they were saying good luck at their briefing with the window? I did.
Y'all, man, y'all gotta stop, man. I know we all read the comics. But let's go. Let's everybody slow the fuck down sometimes, please.
Hulk is probably eating Hulk a burning fudge. Wong's preferred Ben and Jerry's flavor.
I think that's what he was eating. I think one of the writers confirmed that.
Yeah.
I actually have something else. Sorry about what they're eating on set. So, and we're going to mention this in the Between Two Palms review. If you notice, like, Thor drinking beer when he's in the Avengers facility, he's always drinking a very specific can. It's called Creature Comforts Beer. It's a local brewery in Athens. What happened was, when they were shooting in Atlanta for so long, this beer made its way on the set, and this, all that everyone was drinking was on set with Creature Comforts, so much so that the Russos loved it so much, they reached out to the brewery in Athens and asked them if they could pay to have them the beers in the movie.
That is amazing.
Because wow. Creature Comforts is one of those, like, super, I guess, I'm using air quotes here, progressive, I guess, local breweries, in that most of their mission is about helping out Athens. They don't focus on, obviously, Athens UGA. They focus on the impoverished community around the school, which I think is pretty cool. So very cool message, and I thought it was a really cool little wrinkle and very Georgia-specific for the movie.
Nice. That's actually – there's so many little things in this movie. Like, it's just – oh, man, so good. Thanos snapped one of the Russo brothers because only one appears in the endgame. See, I didn't even think about that. That's fucked. I didn't even think about that.
Wow.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Wow. Thanks for the podcast and the enthusiasm you bring. Yeah, no, thank you for writing in. That's, ooh, yeah. let's see, here we go. Everybody writes in, I hope I'm not too late for this one. No, you're not. First, thank you for the screening and podcast, Chris. I've listened to you for years, starting with the Strawberry Letter and Sanity Check. Oh, my God. I don't even think that's available anymore on this show. I'm hoping not available anymore on the podcast feed because we were very problematic back in those days. But I have to say, you become a staple of podcasts when the rebranding happened and you added Susan's husband.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right.
I hear the fans chanting Susan's husband at you. Wow. You stand
I'll take you behind the scenes of the live show. I don't think the first live show is up. I know the second one's on the Worst of 40 Acres feed. The first one, people asked, where's Susan?
Wow.
And I'll be good and goddamn. Like, I'll set all this down. Didn't they hear from me?
I just want you to know, you brought this on yourself. Like, we had these conversations. You do realize.
Not this part.
I told Deepa, I was like, first of all, once Susan starts, you know she's not going to stop. It just...
So you've complained about Chris running this digital sweatshop and you brought your wife into it.
You see it, Jeff.
Misery loves company.
You see it, Jeff.
Is that the end of the email?
You see how they smear my
name? Are we not finishing this email?
You see how they smear my name? You see how they make me the villain? You see how they make me the bad guy? They make me the bad guy in here, right? They brought this on themselves. Sorry. more emails. Rest of the email. He brought a new energy, passion, and fun to the network. He's talking about you. See, look. This is why you want me to keep going. They're like leveraging all this praise on you. And I can't remember what shows were like without you two now. Thank you for bringing me nerd joy. As much as I enjoy Susan's husband's energy and knowledge, full disclosure, I am both a Philadelphia Eagles fan and an Alabama fan, so I'm contractually obligated to troll your co-host.
Fuck your email. Next up.
I live in a Philly suburb, and I first watched Endgame out here, and it was dry as fuck. It's worth the drive from here to spend those hours with you all. Seriously, I can't say this enough. Like, anytime we do a live show, anytime we do anything, I mean, even you guys just writing these emails in or downloading the shows, premium, we've had another explosion of people buying premium shows. Like, you guys made me nervous. When we get more people like signing up for premium, it made me nervous. I'm like, yo, we got to record a premium show soon because like people are expecting shit of us. But I'm serious. Like, we really, really are always going to be humble about this. And we really, really do appreciate all the stuff you guys do to make this network keep going on. I could go on literally hours about the movie, but I want to talk about Tom Holland as Peter Parker. I will fight any and everyone who even suggests that there is a better cinematic version of Peter. He had 5 minutes of screen time and somehow managed to steal the entire show with an instant kill. His recap to Tony that resulted in a hug, looking like a wounded kitty and having every Marvel woman come to his rescue. I love the memes that have come out from that. The one with the Kevin Hart meme where basically has Kevin Hart on the, and it's like the woman protected Kevin Hart, and that's Peter and all the women of Marvel. It's like it's great. Yes, I know it was Marvel giving the middle finger to dude bros. Marvel giving the middle finger to dude bros and doubling down on heroes with vaginas. But in that moment before Peter lost his third dad, he gained a dozen moms. I only want to hear you guys talk about the only Peter Parker who should ever be acknowledged, and if time permits, some Far From Home theory since the trailer dropped today. So Do you want to do the Far From Home stuff now, or do you want to wait until after we get the last email and then come back to Far From Home?
Let's do the email, and then we'll come back and wrap it all together.
So just hold that thought. We're going to get more Peter, more Far From Home. We're going to end this episode talking about that kind of stuff there. We're going to get one more email in, and we'll go from there. And then Imani wrote this in, and again, man, you send these things in the last minute. You got this one in right under the wire, man. This was at 6:40 today.
We ain't got to read it.
I want to compliment Chris on his restraint on not talking about Endgame as well as he did on the last mailbag. This man is a professional, and if he slandered like that on his own podcast, it'd really be your own people. Thank you. All right,
full stop.
Thank you. Finally, somebody.
I don't know, Jeff. I don't know how speed you are on this bullshit.
What? I've been listening. What are we
so Chris? About? So the week Endgame came out, Chris saw it the day before we recorded the mailbag, and I'm seeing it the next day, and we didn't have to talk about it.
The text message?
Well, yes, the text message.
That he asked for? That he asked me to send him?
Would you ask for the rest of it, Chris?
What rest of it?
Christopher.
I did listen when you what are the Flash? It was either one of the CW show reviews where you read the email and somebody said something about Endgame and you paused and you were like, "Damn, you see, I didn't even bring it up, but you brought it up and you set D-Pop off for like 5 minutes."
I mean, I'm just
I don't know. You are comfortable,
but somehow Chris is the good guy. Like, and that's the crazy shit where he spins this narrative where he's the aggrieved party.
Well, you know what it is. It's the listeners have gone full villain agenda.
And that's fine.
You can't see that?
As I said during The Gifted, I'll be the last fucking X-Man. I'll do that. I'll stand here. I'll be the one man with the shield against the armies of Thanos.
I will stand.
So let me ask a question. So are you saying that our fan base, the people that we make this show for, are the armies of Thanos?
I can do this all day.
God damn it, I love us. Ever since they actually pulled off Avengers and we got the team shot of them in the circle, before I even finish this, like, by the way, shout out to them knowing to you got to put that scene into Endgame. They could have put any, like, but you got to put the circle in because, like you said, like this email says, like, that scene in Avengers when they circle up, you're just like, I remember from the trailer, it was like, yo, they circled up the Avengers. Are they about to do this shit? They got the team shot of them circle. I gave up doubting what Marvel and Kevin Feige could do. That should not have worked in 2012. It should not have. The sheer audacity of them even trying to land that many planes changed the scope of what I thought possible, and any preconceived limits I had about film were gone. I mean, again, this goes back to what we were saying before, that to me, this is, I mean, if everybody going, oh, it's just a superhero movie, it's just, oh, look at a blockbuster, stuff like that. Looking at what they did, this movie should not work. Avengers shouldn't have worked, but Endgame definitely should not have worked. It shouldn't have. On paper, it makes no sense. I remember before the MCU, we had the rules, right? I remember we did this with, the Amazing Spider-Man 2. It's like, can't have more than one villain in a film. Can have more superheroes in that. Like, there were certain rules you had, things you couldn't do. You can't have a movie that's over 2.5 hours. Like, Endgame blows all those rules out of the water and says, actually, you can if you focus on quality.
Yeah, people were willing to stay longer.
Yeah, yeah. People knew that you weren't getting an end credit scene, and they still sat there. The movie gave me the same feeling, childlike giddiness that didn't even cover it. Gave me that same feeling, a childlike giddiness that didn't even cover it. Nigga, when those portals open, I cried. But when we finally got Avengers Assemble, I felt that shit in my chest. They gave us IMAX size splash pages, and a time travel multiverse story is the biggest movie in the world. Forget telling 10-year-old Imani this. I remember folks laughing when they announced Iron Man was RDJ in 2007. They told us back then, but we just thought it was Fury talking to Tony. You become a part of a bigger universe. You just don't know it yet. That is actually a really good point. We didn't know. None of us knew at that point how big this could get. Like, even in phase one and phase two, when you think about it, we were still kind of limited. But once they moved Feige under, I think directly under Alan Horn, and he got full control, and we came into phase three did not miss. And it's been incredible. Y'all remember when superhero fatigue was supposed to be a thing? Fox said they had to move Dark Phoenix because it was too close to Deadpool's re-release. Meanwhile, Captain Marvel made it all the way back to number two in its eighth week out. Remember when folks were mad at Nick Spencer for Secret Empire? Speak it. Yeah, when they dropped that cute Hail Hydra, it was great. But once we looked over to old man Cap on that bench, bruh. There's so much I can say about this movie, but if you know, you know. Make mine Marvel. Thank you all for the dope content as well. Yeah, I think we talked about this on when I was on the the Nerd Off with Rod and them, like, yo. Does anybody, was Nick Spencer on the end of the credit? Because they did shout out a lot of the creators. Was Nick Spencer in one of the names? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
I didn't know either. I guess I gotta go.
Would it be on IMDb?
I don't know if it might be. I'll go and see. If not, it just means I gotta go and see it again this weekend just so I can confirm. But yeah, I love the fact that we got, you know, shout out to Nick Spencer.
Yo, can I tell you the first screening I went to? I had my Captain America Hydra shirt on, and that. Literally, I was having a conversation with somebody who said they weren't feeling Secret Empire, right? And then that happened, and I look over to him, and I'm like, methinks you should change your suit. Because, like, and can I tell you how I felt a little horrible cheering that scene, because I'm like, yo, I'm kind of cheering Hydra, but I'm indirectly sanctioning Hydra, and I never felt any better.
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, again, because we all know, it's those small little nods to the comics, of people, the fans, that we all got it. We all know. And it's just, it's such a beautiful film, you know? And, you know, maybe it doesn't take over Avatar, you know? To me, doesn't matter. This film was incredible. This shows, it laid out the path of the ending this Infinity Saga and then laying a path forward, and it's incredible, and I can't wait to see what's next. And speaking of what's next, I gotta say, because that was the last of our emails, I gotta say, I think Marvel might have finally gotten Sony his first $1 billion Spider-Man film.
Oh, it's going to cruise to a billion.
Right, I mean.
Like, the billions. You got to remember that when they drop these Avengers movies, the wave rises all tides. Remember, Iron Man 3 cruised to a billion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, when I say that it's a very, very, very real risk for it to go for 1.5, I mean that shit.
I mean,
because Spider-Man's a great draw. Nick Fury's a great draw. Jake Gyllenhaal's going to draw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal can open a fucking movie.
And then,
not to mention the fact that just mentioning the multiverse alone.
Yeah.
Bro. It had to have been a quarter of a mil.
No.
I wish I had a word that could put a quarter of a mil.
So the most audacious thing about Endgame is when you step back and you realize that Infinity War was just marketing for Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Their in-game marketing made them $1 billion. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so what they've done here now, like with just saying, but just by saying multiverse,
just say
a quarter billion, bro. A quarter billion.
The first question for both of you, which snap broke it open?
Ooh. Oh, yo, yeah. You can't do this to me. I need a theory.
Okay, all right, fine. Chris, do you have a theory before I share mine?
I think the second one.
So Banner snap?
No, Thanos' second snap when he tried to destroy the stones.
Oh, see, I'm saying it was Tony snap. Tony snap.
Could be.
Because he kicked, he didn't just like kill Thanos' forces. He kicked out invaders from a foreign timeline.
True, yeah.
Using alternate timeline stones.
Yeah.
Those stones aren't native to our universe.
That's a valid point.
Yeah, I can say that because I was going to say, just to pick something different, see if I can make a case for the first snap. But the first snap just happened. Like, it just happened and it affected. I feel like there's two ways, and, you know, because I'm an astrophysicist, there's two ways a hole in space could probably have been ripped. That second snap, that eliminated them because of the you think the energy or whatever it would take to wipe them from existence to have done something. Maybe it was a combination of both. Maybe it was all three.
Yeah.
Like the first snap weakened the barrier between universes, or I'll say the one that eliminated everything. Then bringing alternate stones, and snapping two more times ripped the hole apart.
I mean,
because they're still native to this universe. They're just not native to the time.
The idea that they're doing an Eternals movie says that we're probably going to get the fucking answer, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing to me that this movie opens up so many other doors going forward because, like, there's so many unanswered questions to what happened, you know? Right. And there's so many possibilities, and it's... It's wild. And like you said, just them dropping the idea of the multiverse. Maybe Mysterio is lying. And he's not from another multiverse. But maybe he is. Maybe he's lying, but there really is a multiverse. Like, there's so many different possibilities. But here's the thing. It didn't matter because like you said, just dropping that word.
Quarter billion.
People now quarter you gotta billion. Go. Now you gotta go. Now you got to be like, oh shit, what's going to go on? Oh, is this how we get the X-Men? Is this how we get Fantastic Four? Is this how we're going to do all this other stuff now? It's like all of a sudden now people's minds are going crazy and you can't. Yeah. Like Sony doesn't do any other promotion for this film fucking now. After that last trailer?
Why would you do any more promotion?
You got to put the budget somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You put
it into toys or something. I don't know.
We good now. We good. Like that's shit, nigga. That's all you had to say. It's like
they put the clip on Ellen, Chris. Like there's nothing else to do. That clip on Ellen, Endgame, and Spider-Man. Like at this point, if you don't want to go, you just don't like the shit. You don't like it.
Right. And after what Endgame did, it's like everybody's in. Because now everybody wants to know. You have to see this movie because you're now hoping to get some idea of what happens next in this in Phase 4 because they have said nothing about Phase 4. So you
for so long these last two movies played on what's come before. The idea that they can immediately shift you into what's next is with one line of dialogue in one trailer is so fucking powerful.
Yeah,
11 years, man. 11 years, and you know what I'm hoping. I really hope that this dialogue about Peter Parker being a glorified Iron Man sidekick ends after Far From Home.
Who's saying that? Like, these are you on the internet again?
Because God forbid he has a mentor in this world and he's being set up to be the next S.H.I.E.L.D. And quite frankly, would have been the first one. You know, if you think you want to talk about what if they had all their properties, do we even get here the way we get here?
No.
Maybe we start off with Phase 4 is Avengers, which is crazy.
Well, it's the necessity of desperation.
Right.
They were desperate when Iron Man got made. It was a gamble. And this by saying the word multiverse in a goddamn commercial. The gamble won. They won. Not just because they made $2 billion in 11 days. Oh, my God. I still can't believe that happened. But because they got to say the word multiverse, and no one was like, what is that? Donnie Case tweeted, said, after the first weekend, he says, Thanos, a movie starring Thanos, just made $1.3 billion. 5 years ago, I had to explain who Thanos was when I said I was writing a series.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real, man. Like, that's just a testament. Like you said before, necessity creates the best opportunity for creativity. And they needed to make it happen, and they did. But I think it what's even crazier is you want to talk about a heat check. You're starting off the next era of Marvel with the franchise.
Oh, but they're not. This is the last movie in phase three.
Right. All right. So we're starting the epilogue. Can you meet me there? This is the epilogue.
Look, they're selling box sets on this motherfuckers. It's very important we recognize this is the last.
Is Far From Home going to be in the box set?
I don't know. It's not part of the Infinity Saga, so I wouldn't think so.
But here's the interesting thing about that, though. It's not even there for a movie. I mean,
that's the biggest flex.
Like, here's the thing. Like, and that's to me the thing that's so fucking crazy about them. Again, it goes to show you how. And again, at some point, I don't want to make this about larger than that. But at some point, we have to come back and do an MCU Marvel Studios another follow up podcast on this. Because to me, what's so fucking crazy about this is they're doing things that other studios won't do. They do not make any money off of Spider-Man. I don't want to say any. There is they pay for
licensing
way more than they used to.
They get some of the merchandising, and obviously they pay for Kevin Feige being a producer and things like that. But actually, on the if that film makes $1 billion, that doesn't go to Marvel Studios, right? It's Sony's money. They're still going to promote it like it's theirs, though. They're still going to be like, yeah, this is part of the MCU. This is Marvel Studios. We're still, they're making money for another studio going, but we can, hey, listen, we can make this money together, right?
It's an investment.
It's an investment. Mm-hmm. It's fucking crazy, right? It's just so insane to me that, and like you said, the fact that they've trained people over this 11 years, again, it goes to show you then, again, that at this point, nothing's too far-fetched.
You know how not far-fetched it is, Chris? They don't tell you how far from home Peter's going. If the multiverse is on the table, you don't know where Peter's going.
You know where he's going. Mm. Oh, you know how far from home he's
going. They said far from home. They never specified how far. This shit's about to get weird.
Well, where? Yo, imagine if they pull off the Spider-Man crossover with him. There's certain things, like once Mysterio came into play, he opened, and which is another reason why I don't trust, like I said, I don't care if you're Rey Mysterio Jr. I don't care if you're Quentin Beck. I don't trust
Rey.
We trust the author of the 619. I hear that. But all I'm saying is there's a few things with Mysterio that kind of make me raise. First of all, you're an illusionist. You're a scammer with special effects. That's what you are.
But so, remember, Baron Mordo started as a good guy too.
That's true. But here's one tell, and maybe I'm thinking too deep. He called this Earth 616. Technically, MCU Earth isn't 616.
I don't know.
Right? And then Earth
8. We don't know what the MCU Earth is.
Here's the thing. Well, I thought it's in
canon. After Secret Wars, all the planets got all the
Earth. Because it went to the prime Earth. It went to the prime Earth.
So this could be Earth 616.
Right. But you know Earth 833 is Spider UK's Earth.
Right.
It's ill. When I think about it, I'm just looking for a reason not to trust Jake Gyllenhaal at this point. I don't trust Quentin.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, Mysterio's first appearance is Amazing Spider-Man number 14. He's the fifth villain he fights. And he starts off as, spoilers, a villain pretending to be a hero. He's pretending to be, he was setting up crimes like Spider-Man did them and stopping them to make himself look better. Does that play out here? I don't know. But I do know that the ancillary documentation is already calling those elementals Hydro-Man and Molten Man.
Right.
So did those come from his universe? Like, how'd they get here? What I like is that there's so many questions. They have a fight scene apparently during the day where Happy's trying to get those kids onto the plane before it blows up.
What if I told you a movie with Mysterio as the main villain, or is he, is going to make over $1 billion?
Well, that's I would say make mine Marvel.
Like,
I love Mysterio, but Mysterio?
But
fishbowl head, man.
But isn't that the crazy thing, right? That Marvel's done. They did this with Spider-Man. It's like, you know, whatchamacallit? Sony came out the gate with their heavy hitters and flopped. And well, not even flopped. They made mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. Sony, Marvel's like, all right, cool. We're gonna come in. We're gonna start with the Vulture. Then we're going with Mysterio. We're not even going to use your heavy hitters at first. We're not going to do
we're
the Doc
Ock. Slow build the Sinister Six.
Right. We're going to slow build it and go from there. It's like, damn, you evil fucking geniuses. But beyond that, it's just the fact that we can even talk about this stuff. And the fact that the other thing, too, and Deepon, me and you have talked about this, too, is the idea of they have tricked us before. So now we're going, yeah, in the comics, Mysterio, you know, pretends to be a hero and he's really a villain. He does all this stuff. But now I'm sitting there going, you did the same thing with the Skrulls.
Well, we don't know. Yeah. Guys, 5 years is a long time for people who don't belong on our Earth to infiltrate our Earth. I think the Skrulls were a bit more pressing concern than they want us to think.
No, I think so, too. But I'm just saying, in that movie...
Oh, in the movie, correct.
For that movie, we were like, oh, fuck these Skrulls. Like, fuck. I mean, yeah, no, the Kree aren't really heroes either. But no, fuck these Skrulls, though. And then we're just like, oh, shit. But that's what made this so good is they played on what our biases already are. Even for us, the people who know the comics, they're surprising us. And so now you can come back, you can make the Skrulls bad people. You can bring in some of the Skrulls that are evil. You can maybe start off with, again, like you said, you brought up Baron Mordo. Like, that entire movie with Doctor Strange, he's a good guy. He's not bad guy in that film. But we know he's going to be. And you can do that. You can slow build a bad guy. You can slow build a turn. Because, again, once again, they also know that they're very confident. Like, when you make $2.2 billion in 11 days, you're no longer worried. If this film doesn't make money, we can't make more.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a concern. You know, when Ant-Man and the Wasp can make what, 623 million? Like, I've seen people go, Ant-Man and the Wasp flopped. I'm like, Ant-Man and the Wasp made 600 and some odd million dollars.
I hope we all flop like that.
Allow me to flop in that direction.
Please.
Please flop like that. I am begging for you to flop like that because I would like to hold $20.
Like, come on. So,
their casting has been impeccable, by the way, with their villains. Like, you got Michael Keaton and Jake Gyllenhaal.
If they do the Sinister Six with just a nigga, listen.
Yeah, and on top of that, I would argue that they're even using some of the more interesting villains. Like, his top villains are just interesting due to, like, you know, they're interesting, but people that you don't really get to explore. And you're exploring them with A-list actors. I still have a hope somewhere down the line that there is a Batman Beyond film with Michael Keaton being Old Man Bruce. I think once he does that, he can walk off into the sunset. Like, it's all right, Michael. You've won. We won. You can rest now.
You can rest now?
Yeah, you can rest now.
You can rest now. We're safe?
Yo, Batman, Birdman, Vulture, Old Man Bruce. What else do you do?
Yeah, you're right. You're right on that one. All right, cool. We cut this under an hour. You guys got anything else you want to add in for this? Anything about Far From Home else you want to say about Far From Home? I know, I'm really excited now, and I think that after...
I'm on radio blackout now. No more trailers, no more photos, no more interviews. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I just, you know, I hope going forward, Sony just knows to make money and be quiet. Because there's no reason to rock the boat. Do whatever you want to do with everything else, but there's no reason to rock the boat. You're about to have a poppin' animated universe. And then, you know, you have let Marvel do what it does with these characters. Make your money, don't rock the boat. And let's continue to flesh out and get the movies that we've wanted, especially the Spider-Man movies that we wanted. And yeah, man, I can't wait. What is it, July?
Yeah, July
2nd.
July 2nd.
Yeah, just
also two things. One, Sony, that part of that don't rock the boat means do not try to hint at the idea that Venom or any of those shitty movies you are doing are part of this multiverse. They are not. They are not. They are not. All right? And I'm tired of people trying to suggest that maybe they could possibly know. If Kevin Feige has no control over it, is not touching the MCU. He's not allowing that stuff to move in and lower his property values. It's not happening. It's not happening. All right? Number one. And number two, I just don't want to wait until the end of the month to talk about this, so I had to bring this up now. So they moved New Mutants off the schedule, huh? Or no, New Mutants got moved to 2020, and Gambit is off the schedule. It's like, what a shame,
it's about
guys.
The Old Mutants.
New Mutants coming out on Hulu, direct to Hulu.
M. They're gonna call it M.
M. Old Mutants.
Nim. Macy and Nim. Like, I'm just sorry. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, guys. Like,
they need to use whatever money they were gonna spend on. I wonder what and bring the Gifted to Disney Plus.
I wonder what the early tracking is on Dark Phoenix. Yo,
it's gonna make money, man. It's gonna make money.
Is it though?
I'm gonna go see it.
Oh, wow! Love yourself more.
I have to see. I'm a complete
self care. Self care. Knowing better means what? Doing better. What
listen. Just off the strength of Sansa's arc this season on Game of Thrones, I'm tuning in. Sophie Turner has earned my view.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Deepop. It was me all along.
This is not self care, y'all.
It was me all along.
It's early tracking is for like $40 to $55 million its opening weekend.
Oh, I thought you meant opening weekend. I thought you meant like total.
No.
Oh, you're talking about opening. What is it open again?
And who cares? It's also probably nothing. I mean, if you think about it, they've all kind of opened low anyway. There's never been outside of Deadpool, there's never been one that's, and I don't even know if Deadpool did, that they'll open over $100 million opening weekend. They've never have. What they did to try to trick people into thinking that is they would open over Memorial Day weekend and get that 4-day total, not the 3-day total. So there's never been one of their films that opened over $100 million. So they always kind of been low performers anyway. But here's the thing, those early tracking numbers were before Endgame came out.
Right.
I think after Endgame, people were just like, why are we here?
But wait, because of the merger, is Disney promoting this? Or is this like a deal where Fox is seeing this through?
I think they technically are. They are technically.
They have to be, right?
Yeah, they are. So it's kind of like, yeah, Endgame.
Because Dark Phoenix goes on their ledger this year.
Yeah.
Like, it does. That's why Fox, that was the smartest shit. Fox was like, yeah, we'll push it back to next year after the deal goes through.
Yeah.
You guys take that.
Yeah. So you got to take that loss.
They're going to have to, like, I think everything from this point forward.
Yeah, everything is theirs.
Maybe that's why you don't see as much.
Yeah. So there's that. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, we have Dark Phoenix. So check that out. So anyway, Jeff, what do you have coming up for you and your group over there at For All Nerds?
So same stuff, podcasting, all that stuff. You know, you can follow me, Jeff J says. I always got something going on even when I don't know. So, you know, definitely check it out. And thank y'all for having me, man. Like, you know, I'm a fan first of the network. And, you know, it's anytime I can podcast with you and Susan's husband, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Wow.
Susan, you've done well. You've done real well.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you outkicked your coverage, bro.
Like, it'd be your own, gal. All right.
So if you're listening to this, that means you're probably already subscribed to Super Tuesday Recap. Tell all your friends, subscribe to the Super Tuesday Recap. We will have a Star Trek Discovery season finale review coming out soon. We're finally getting that together. We've had so much stuff going on in April, so it's taking a long time for it to get everybody together. But I cannot wait to talk about that season finale because that show is perfect. And then Champ is back. Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll be writing down all of our Arrowverse shows in the next couple weeks, but the Champ Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, and we'll be recording those reviews on Sunday, so those reviews will probably come out either Sunday night or Monday morning for Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. one of the original Super Tuesday shows, the original Super Tuesday show that everybody loved to hear us on. So, yeah, Agent Shield is back. So, cannot wait. So, again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. And until next time, we are out of here. Peace.